Morning, everyone. I hope you're still celebrating and delighting in these days of Christmas. You know, unlike a child who receives a gift and then they enjoy it for a day or two and then toss it aside, that these days of Christmas, this whole season is a gift. And part of this gift of Christmas that we receive is this Feast of Epiphany today, which is the revelation to all the nations that God has come for them. Not just coming for the Israelites, but for all the nations. And the prayer over the offerings that's prayed after the gifts are brought forward, and right before we go into the Eucharistic prayer, for this feast day, it's particularly beautiful and powerful. It goes, "Look with favor, Lord, we pray, on these gifts of your church, in which are offered now not gold or frankincense or myrrh, but he who by them is proclaimed, sacrificed, and received, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever." I love that some of you said amen. You're so Catholic to the core, it's just the response just comes right out of you. I want to speak, though, on this Feast of Epiphany, just a word about the actual gifts that were brought, because they hold massive significance. They're not just these random things that the wise men are like looking around before they take off on their long journey, like, well, what do I have to bring to them? Well, here's a little bit of gold. They each hold massive significance because, as we hear in that prayer over the gifts, they themselves proclaim something of who this infant in the manger is, who he is, and what they reveal we're called to do in response to who he is, and what it is that we proclaim. We as Christians, we who believe in Jesus Christ, we who have him alive within us, what is it that we proclaim to the whole world through Jesus Christ? And so these gifts, gold, which of all the gifts is the one that probably to our minds makes the most sense. You can never go wrong with the gift of gold to someone, right? That they bring the gift of gold to him. But this represents that he, this child in the manger, is the true king. He is the true king who has come to establish his eternal kingdom. In being the true king, he is the one who brings order and peace and freedom, true peace into our lives and into this world. And it's not like the fool's gold in which, though we know better, we can look to other kings thinking that they're going to bring some lasting and eternal peace or freedom into our lives. In the days of the Nativity itself, people looked often that it was the empire, the eternal Roman Empire, which was the thing that would provide the peace, that would provide freedom in their lives. Others, such as the Jewish people, that it was some political Messiah who would come, a great political figure who would bring them finally this freedom that they longed for. But this is fool's gold. And though we know better, there's no other kings, there's no politics that is the solution to all those most important issues in our lives and the deepest yearnings of our heart. This empire that we live in now, it will end. It'll end. When Rome was sacked in 410 AD by the Goths, it sent shockwaves through everyone in the empire. Why? Because for 800 years, the empire had stood and Rome had never been touched. Not sacked like that. Our empire will end. But this is not our lasting kingdom. And if that shocks you in some way or unnerves you, it's because this kingdom And those who lead us, they aren't the true king. And anyone who has any sort of leadership and power, if it be true, it's because they share in it with the true king, who is God. And when you share in that power of God, this authority of him, how you live is you serve humbly. You humbly serve him, and you humbly serve those whom you lead as well. Gold is brought to him because he is the true king. And that should bring hope to our hearts, that we're not placing our hope in any sort of kings of this world and any sort of kingdoms, which all will come to an end. His kingdom has no end, and he is the true king who brings peace, freedom, and order. And so we are called to serve him humbly, and this is what we proclaim to the world as well, that this is the true power that he has. Then there's frankincense that is brought. It's incense. You know that thing that some of you love on the great feast days when it comes out? And before you even smell it, you start going, it's incense that's brought as one of the great gifts, frankincense. Why? Because frankincense, representing that this infant born in the manger, he is truly God. And that incense was the thing that's burned only before true gods. You know, in those early centuries of the church, when the persecutions were hot, and they would bring Christians forward, and, you know, they were persecuted because they wouldn't worship the Roman gods. And if you don't worship the Roman gods, well, things will fall apart, because they're the ones who protect us and provide for us. But what did it mean that they were forcing the Christians to worship the Roman gods? Did they bring them out and say, do you worship them? And you just had to say, yep. Or did they make you denounce your faith? Do you denounce Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Oh, I don't want to. You have to. Yes, I do. No, what they made them do is you had to take a pinch of incense and you burnt it to the gods, because that's the sign of your worshiping this as a true God. That incense, which represents our prayers rising up to the God that can hear us. And so frankincense is brought to him as a sign that this here is the true God. And it's this turning away from the false gods. You guys know there's so many false gods, but perhaps the greatest one, it's the false god of the satanic worship of ourselves. It's the false god which is you. Worshipping your own self, your ego, your passions. But this child who has come, and what's revealed to us, he's come to deliver us from these false gods. It's not just that the worship of those false gods, oh, you're mistaken. Oh, you just got it wrong. No, those false gods that we worship, they're intent on destroying us. He's come to save us and save us from ourselves. And what's the antidote to this? This worship of ourselves as a God, it's to sacrifice joyfully. The antidote to the worship of oneself, it's sacrifice. That I sacrifice joyfully to God, and I sacrifice joyfully and daily to those in my lives, that I give of myself. And that this is what the true worship is, given to God. And that flows out through sacrifice, joyful sacrifice to him and to others as well. Frankincense, he is the true God who has come. And finally, and most strangely, the last gift is myrrh, which reveals that he is truly a man, like one of us. He's truly human. Myrrh, it was what was used on a dead body to prepare it for burial. Why? Because what was myrrh? It essentially just covered the stink of this mortal body, which is now decomposing dust to dust, earth to earth. It represents that he has come, and he will truly suffer with us as we suffer. He will truly die as we will all truly die as well. But what does this mean? It means that he has come, because he's one of us, to give meaning to our suffering and death. That there's a purpose in all the suffering that we're confronted with. Which, this is different from the false comforts we sometimes take. That when we're confronted with suffering, our response to this is not confronting it, knowing that there's meaning and there's purpose in this, and I'm not alone in this suffering. But instead, we confront suffering, or we see it, and we oftentimes have to numb ourselves of it, from it, these false comforts. Or our favorite way to numb ourselves from it is, here's this suffering in front of us, and I distract myself, distract myself, distract myself, distract myself. And then we wonder why we're filled with such great anxiety. Anxiety comes not from entering into the battle with suffering. That's not what causes anxiety when you're in the midst of the battle. What causes anxiety is when you're distracting and avoiding the suffering. It's the avoidance that causes anxiety. It's the source of it. But he comes to us as true man, in that there is, he gives meaning to this suffering, and as true man, no suffering that we enter into, we do so alone. But rather, we're not to be cowards in the face of it, cowering. But rather, he comes to us, and he is with us as one of us, so that we might take courage. Why? Because Emmanuel, he is with us. We take courage that he is with us in our suffering, and he's with us as we enter into it, and that this gives us the ability to encourage others in our lives who suffer as well. Why? Because Emmanuel, he is with us, truly with us, because the mirror represents that he is truly man. So who is it that is revealed in these three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh? He who is true king, truly God, and truly a man. And what do they reveal that we are called to? We're called to serve humbly he who is truly king. We're called to sacrifice joyfully to he who is true God. And we're called to take courage and to encourage others who suffer, because Emmanuel, he is truly with us as our brother, as true.